Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is understanding J2C connection pooling in a WebSphere application server. Today's presenters are Kumaran Nathan and Krishna Gulati. Kumaran has more than 10 years of WebSphere application server customer support and testing experience in multiple versions from version 5 to version 8.5. Our areas of specialization include administrative console, install, application management, and system management. Krishna has more than 10 years of WebSphere application server customer support and testing experience in multiple versions from version 5 to version 8.5. Areas of specialization include JPA, EJB, HA Manager, Web Service, J2C, and IBM SDK. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Krishna. You may begin.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Krishna Gulati, and I work for IBM WebSphere Application Server Support. Let's get started with the presentation. The purpose of today's presentation is to discuss J2C connection pooling in WebSphere Application Server. We will also discuss about some basic and few advanced connection pool and data source properties in WebSphere Application Server. And we will also discuss about common issues in connection pooling and recommended best practices. Slide 2, please. Today's agenda is overview of JCA, Relational Resource Adapter, which is also known as RRA, the implementation of WebSphere Resource Adapter, J2C connection pooling, and we're going to discuss about pool manager, free pool, shared pool, unshared pool, and advanced connection pool and data source properties, transaction management in WebSphere application server, common issues, and recommended best practices. Slide 3, please. JCA is an acronym for Java Connector Architecture, which is part of J2EE specification. WebSphere application server supports JCA version 1.5 as part of J2E 1.4 specification. Slide 4, please. JCA is an architecture for integrating J2E servers with EAS, which is also known as Enterprise Information Systems. In other words, JCA provides a standard mechanism that allows J2E application to connect and use heterogeneous resources from enterprise information systems or relational databases. JCA also provides a plug-and-play access to enterprise EAS systems, and JCA framework also provides contract between EAS vendor and application server. EAS vendor provides a resource adapter, and WebSphere application servers allows it to be plugged in. JCA compliant resource adapter can be pluggable to any JCA compliant application server. WebSphere application server provides three resource adapters, which are commonly known as relational resource adapter, which is used to connect to database systems, and SIPJMS resource adapter, which is used to connect default messaging engine in WebSphere application server, and MQ resource adapter, which is used to connect to MQ JMS provider. Slide 5, please. Relational Resource Adapter, which is also known as RRA, which is an implementation of WebSphere Resource Adapter to provide a connectivity to the database systems. Slide 6, please. RRA is a system-level software driver that provides a connectivity to EAS or database systems. It is used within the address space of application server. RRA provides three types of connectivity: an outbound, inbound, and bidirectional connectivity. WebSphere provides RRA to connect to an relational databases. Slide 7, please. Let's go to the J2C connection pooling. Slide 8, please. IBM WebSphere application server connection pool provides a pool of connections which alleviate a connection management overhead as well as a decreased development task for the developers to access the resources such as connecting to a database. Application server connection pooling do not incur any overhead when creating a new connections because the connections are already established and available in a connection pool to use for the applications. Connection pool implementation in WebSphere is based on a JCA framework. Basically, each connection in application server has a J2C object, which we call it as a pool manager. And application component should always be using connection pooling in WebSphere application server to take advantage of acquiring connections with the database servers. WebSphere application server connection manager also supports unshareable and shareable connections that manages the state of the connection objects between free pool and shared and unshared pool. Slide 9, please. Continuation of the connection pooling. Connection pooling in WebSphere contains three main parts. A pool manager, which is a J2C implementation object, and there is always one pool manager per data source or per connection factory. Pool manager can be thought of three sub-pools, a free pool, shareable pool, and unshareable pool. Free pool holds free connections. Once the connection is reserved, it would be either in a shared pool or unshared pool. Once the connection is released, the connection will go back to the free pool, but it depends on the condition where the connection states. First, the connection, if it is a shared connection, the connection will be going to the shared pool, and then the condition allows, the shared connection will be released to the free pool. Similarly, when applications are using unshared pool, the connection will go back to the unshared pool, and depending upon the state of the connection manager will release the connection to the free pool back so that the application can reuse that connection again. Slide 10, please. A shareable shareable connection. Let's discuss about a shareable connection. If condition allows, a different GET connection request within an application will actually receive a handle from the same physical connection to the database or to the resource that application is trying to establish a connection. A physical connection is shared through multiple connection handles instead of a new physical connection from the connection pool for each GET connection invocation, thus reducing connection resources required by an application, and also it avoids using multiple physical connection to the database. Thus, it reduces the overall system resources required to communicate with the database. The conditions that determine when connection manager can allocate a shareable connection depends on the application. And also there are some rules that allow the connection manager to allocate a shareable connection to the application. Each GET connection, the conditions are include, which determine the sharing scope, is each GET connection request should have the same connection properties. Each GET connection request should be made within the same sharing scope. Connection sharing conditions are such that the connection can be shared within a sharing scope. The most common sharing scope is a transaction scope, where multiple active connection handles can share the same physical connection. There are two transaction scopes in WebSphere application server, known as a global transaction and a local transaction containment. When the connection reuse can occur when a serial reuse pattern, or which commonly known as get use close pattern, is followed within the same transaction boundary. So that allows a connection manager to allocate a same shared connection, meaning a connection handle using the same physical connection is possible. So whereas in terms of unshared connections, let's talk a little bit more about transaction scope. I said there are two transaction scopes, a global transaction scope and a local transaction containment. A global transaction scope is also referred as a distributed transaction, an XA transaction, or a 2PC or two-phase commit transaction. And an local transaction containment, basically this is an WebSphere-specific implementation because EJB2O specification allows an application to operate outside of a global transaction under an unspecified transaction context. Naturally, any J2E application server cannot behave randomly. So to make application server behavior consistent, application server must implement this unspecified context in the specification. So the WebSphere application server provides an LTC for this unspecified context, unspecified transactional context. So let's talk about unshared bull connection. An unshared bull connection is a connection which has exactly one-to-one relationship, meaning each connection handle will have a different or unique physical connection with the data sources. The component using this connection has full control of the unshared connection. In other words, if application uses multiple connections, then each connection will be associated with a different physical connection of its own. And if you want more information about unshared and shareable connections, we have given Info Center URL which provides more details about shared and unshared connections. Slide 11, please. WebSphere provides a relational resource adapter which to connect to the following databases: DB2, Oracle, Microsoft SQL Server, Sybase, Informix, and Derby, which can be used for only development and testing purpose. Derby is not supported in production environments. So their WebSphere application server also provides an user-defined JDBC provider that can be used to configure any non-standard databases. So the above-listed databases are fully tested with application server and certified. Slide 12, please. Let's discuss about connection pool and data source properties. Slide 13, please. So WebSphere connection pool properties are categorized as general connection pool properties and some advanced connection pool properties such as surge protection and stuck pool detection, and advanced data source properties such as WebSphere default query timeout and sync query timeout with transaction timeout, which were introduced from WebSphere application server 7.0.0.21 version. And also there is another data source properties, enable multi-threaded access detection. We are going to discuss in coming slides about these properties. Slide 14, please. So general connection pool properties. Whenever a data source is created, WebSphere will create following connection pool properties. The default connection pool properties for connection timeout is 180 seconds. Maximum connections default value is 10. Minimum number of connections is 1. And reap timeout is 180 seconds. Unused timeout is 1800 seconds, and edge timeout is 0, and purge policy is entire pool. So let us discuss about maximum connections first. The maximum connections, the default maximum connections, when a pool manager is created, it initiates depending upon this property, maximum connection property, which can be overridden using admin console or WS admin scripting. So most of the time, end user of the application server connection pool for a particular data source needs to override this property to depending upon the application requirement. So the pool manager will get created on first get connection request from an application. Once application server receives a first get connection, the connection pool manager will create a pool for this data source with the specified properties. And the minimum connections in vSphere is one, the default one, and the connection timeout, which is also referred as a connection wait timeout, the default value is 180 seconds. And let's talk about unused time. So unused timeout in vSphere is 1800 seconds, and this property is used when there are free connections available in the free pool for the application. Then if these connections stay longer than the unused timeout, the vSphere connection manager runs a reaper thread which is specified by the reaper time. Once the reaper time expires, the reaper thread will run and make sure the connections that are available in the free pool doesn't meet the condition of unused timeout. If any connection that meets the unused timeout condition, the pool manager will purge that connections that meet the unused timeout conditions. There is a condition where vSphere application server connection pool manager must maintain a minimum number of connections. So any connection that qualifies for discard based on the unused timeout, the pool manager will not discard all the connections. For example, if there are 10 connections in the free pool and all 10 connections are eligible for a discard, but pool manager will make sure that it maintains a minimum number of connections that is specified in the minimum number of connection property, and it will discard rest of the connections to maintain minimum number of connections. So the next, let's discuss about the age timeout. Age timeout in vSphere is default is zero, which means never discard a physical connection, because discarding a physical connection and creating a new physical connection requires some system resources. But however, it is recommended for the users to tune depending upon their this property, depending upon their requirement. We will discuss in further slides what condition that determines the connection timeout to be set. So when a connection, let us say, if age timeout is set other than greater than zero, positive integer, so the pool manager, let us say, if a condition meets the age timeout, so that means any connection after its creation in the pool, if it meets age timeout condition, then the pool manager reaper thread will mark that connection as aged, and then it will destroy that connection when the reaper thread runs. So in this case, the minimum number of connections doesn't applicable, because the connections are discarded based on the age. So all the connections in the free pool are discarded. Even if there are any connections that available in the shared or unshared pool, if they are marked as a candidate for aged, then once those connections are returned to the free pool, those connections will also be destroyed by the pool manager. So the default purge policy in vSphere application server is entire pool, What that meaning is, if there is any problem such as a stale connection exception occurs, then pool manager ensures that depending upon the purge policy, it will purge all the connections immediately. But there is a condition that where the pool manager cannot reclaim the connection from the pool. Those conditions are if the connection associated involves in a transaction where Westphere pool manager cannot purge that connection. It waits until the transaction is resolved associated with that connection. Then Westphere connection pool manager can purge that connection out of the pool. Let's go to the slide 15, please. So surge protection. Surge protection is an advanced connection pool property that user can take advantage of. Basically, surge protection provides protects the data source pool. The main use of the surge protection is if there is any sudden increase in the connection request to a particular data source pool, and then if that creates a much overload on the data source pool itself because it has to create the number of connections that are coming in, and thus it can also increase a load on the database. In common practice, the database in an enterprise can be shared by multiple applications, and also the Westphere application server will host multiple applications that doesn't require a database connection using this pool. So in order to protect those applications, the surge protection will help. Basically, surge protection works based on two properties. One is a surge threshold and surge creation interval. Let's discuss this more in slide 16. Slide 16, please. So surge protection is governed by, as I told, surge threshold and surge creation interval. So surge protection, let us assume this scenario. You have a maximum connections of 50 and surge threshold is set as 10 and surge creation interval as 30 seconds. So let us say if connection manager receives a request to create 15 connection requests. So what connection manager does is, if there are no connections available in the free pool, and if the condition free pool and all the connections are in use, which they cannot be used by the application, then application server tries to create a maximum number of connections. So first it will create only 10 connections at the same time, and from 11th connection onwards, it creates after 30 seconds depending upon the surge creation interval. In this case, the 11th connection will be created after 30 seconds, and then the 12th connection will be created after 30 seconds, that after 30 seconds of 11th get connection is created, so on. So the default value for this surge threshold is minus 1. If you want to enable this surge protection, the value should be greater than minus 1. Surge protection will not work with the connection pool associated with activation specification or a JMSQ connection factories that will be used with the default messaging provider or MQ messaging provider. The surge protection will only be applicable to access to the data sources that involves in a database connection. Slide 17, please. Stuck connection. This is also another advanced connection pool properties that protects application server going into an hang mode just depending upon a particular data source pool. So basically, stuck connection works with the three parameters, stuck time, stuck threshold, and stuck interval. Basically, slide 18, please. Yeah, let us discuss more about the stuck condition. When can a data source pool can be declared as a stuck? As I said in earlier slide, it operates on three parameters: stuck time interval, stuck time, and stuck threshold. So basically how this works is, let us say if there is a connection which takes more than 120 seconds, in this case the stuck time is defined as 120 seconds, then pool manager marks that connection as a stuck. So, and any subsequent connections that are taking more than 120 seconds, pool manager will mark those connections as a candidate for stuck. So once the number of connections reaches the stuck threshold, then the entire data source pool for that data source is marked as a stuck pool, meaning the applications that are requesting a GET connection request for this pool will not be allocated any connection until the stuck condition is cleared. And WebSphere application server frequently checks the pool condition depending upon the stuck time interval, and then it determines whether any of the stuck previously declared stuck connections are available for reuse. Until then, application server throws an resource exception to the application. This protects, actually protects, if there is if the application involves in one database connection using a data source pool, if the database is in underperforming, then it will, with this property, you can take benefit of other applications that are hosted in application server that doesn't require a connection to this database, so that application server will be protected in going into an hang state, thus other application can function normally. You can tune these parameters. The pool manager will declare the connection to a normal state once all the stuck connections are cleared. Then the pool manager will resume the particular pool and provides any subsequent GET connection request to the application. Slide 19, please. So WebSphere also introduces data source property called as WebSphere Default Query Timeout, which is available from 7.0.0.21. Basically, WebSphere Default Query Timeout establishes a default query timeout, which is a number of seconds. The default value is zero, meaning there is no time, which provides an SQL statement may run before timing out. So the default query timeout is overridden during a JTA transaction if a custom property sync query timeout with the transaction timeout is enabled. Application can also override WebSphere default query timeout using invoking java.sql.setQueryTimeout at any point of time. Slide 20, please. Sync query timeout with transaction timeout. Both of these properties work together. If this property is enabled, default query timeout value is computed immediately before execution of each statement. For example, in the next slide, I had given a scenario where how these properties both work together. So let us assume WebSphere default query timeout is set as 20 seconds and sync query timeout with transaction timeout is set as true. Slide 21, please. In this example, we can see the first statement is executed. At this time, the query timeout of 20 seconds is used. And for the second prepared statement execute, also a 20 seconds is used. Then let us say, then application uses a transaction API and sets a overrides the transaction timeout as 30 seconds and the transaction begins. Then any subsequent SQL, that is statement that is executed after within the transaction, the sync query timeout with transaction timeout comes into picture. Let us say the first statement in this transaction takes about, at this time, the default query timeout, which was set as 20 seconds, will be overridden to 30 seconds because of sync query timeout with transaction timeout is set as 30 seconds. So let us assume First SQL query takes about 5 seconds in this transaction, and then immediately before the next statement is executed in this transaction, the query timeout is computed. The first query took 5 seconds within this transaction, and then a max timeout is set as 30 seconds. So the default value for the second SQL statement in a transaction is computed as 25 seconds. So once a transaction is committed, and then outside of in, this transaction, any subsequent SQL will use a query timeout of 20 seconds. Slide 22, please. So enable multi-threaded access detection. Before discussing about this property, I would like to discuss about what is a multi-threaded access. So basically, a multi-threaded access to a condition connection to can occur when applications shares a connection handle across multiple threads before closing it. This condition should be avoided because it can lead to an unexpected failures such as connection closed exception and statement closed exception and result set closed exceptions. So WebSphere provides a property called enable multi-threaded access detection to help application developers to detect a source of the application code where it is trying to share the same connection handle. So there is a property in the admin console which you can turn on. Once this property is turned on, whenever WebSphere application server detects multi-threaded access to a connection, then it simply prints a warning message in the system out, DSRA 8720W warning message. And it also prints last used thread ID and the current thread ID of the stack of the application, which helps application developers to fix or address the application-related coding issues. So this property is not recommended to set it in the production because it can be a overhead in production environment. But this property is recommended in case where during the testing phase of the application, if application encounters a connection closed or results it closed or a statement closed exception, you can use this property to determine the source of the application which violates serial reuse of the connection that allows application to take benefit of a shared connections. Slide 23, please. The transaction management in application server. Slide 24, please. So connection manager, the application server uses a default transaction manager as part of application server, which takes responsibility of managing a transaction when using multiple resource managers in an Excel transaction. Basically, a resource manager can support two types of transaction, a Excel transaction and a local transaction, which is local to the resource manager. We will not going to discuss much deeper about the transaction management in application server, but the intent of this presentation is provide an idea of WebSphere connection manager can support two types of connection, Excel transactions and also 1PC connections, which will use the transaction management under the covers to allow the connection manager, depending upon the JDBC provider that is configured for a resource, so that the connection manager can coordinate with the transaction manager. Slide 25, please. So common issues. Now I will hand over this presentation to Kumaran Nathan. My colleague, he will continue from this slide.
Thanks, Krishna. Thanks, everyone, and good morning. We are going to look into some of the common issues that we see in everyday life. We get a lot of PMRs related to these issues. So we thought it would be good to show and help you guys to figure out how these problems can be resolved. Let's move on to next slide, slide 26. Common issues. We get a lot of PMOs, we get a lot of issues. But common problems that we see every day, at least two or three PMOs a day, are related to stale connection exception and wait timeout exception. We get a lot of issues related to that. And we do get a lot of PMOs on unsatisfied link error and customers using multiple versions of JDBC driver, and that causes problem, and also test connection fail issues. Let's move on to next slide, 27. Stale connection exception. When do you get stale connection exception? When the connection is no longer valid in a free pool, and when you try to get the connection from the free pool, and that's when you get the stale connection exception. So the application tries to get a connection, and it fails when the database is not started or restarted. For example, if the database is down, stopped, or it was restarted, or if it purged the session on the database side, and but the connection are in the free pool, and you try to get the connection from the free pool, and that's when you get the stale connection exception. And the third point is when an application tries to use a previously obtained connection, the connection is no longer valid. For example, you got a connection and connected to your database and doing your operation and all, and it went back to your free pool, and connection is sitting in the free pool. In the meantime, for example, firewall or something happened and the connection has been disconnected, right? And the next request or next user comes in and tries to use the connection from the free pool, that user may get the stale connection exception. The fourth point is the application using the connection has already been closed. For example, the same condition, using the connection and trying to get the connection from the free pool, and before you try to use it, the existing connection could have been closed by the JDBC driver or someone else actually. The application tried to use JDBC resource such as statement obtained on a now stale connection. For example, you are trying to use a connection, get connection, And after you getting the connection is valid. And before even you call the any JDBC resource like a prepare statement or resource state, and the connection is being stale already, so you may get stale connection exception at that time. And there could be potential reason of network issues also that could cause stale connection exception. The bottom line is this stale connection exception you can receive in your application due to database restart or database was stopped, or it's not running, or database in maintenance mode, or database reset the session, and could be a network issue, or it could be a firewall issue. It could be any of those actually could cause your stale connection exception after you got the connection in your free pool. Let's move on to next slide, slide 28. So stale connection exception, these are not the solution. I mean, it's not easy to provide a solution for a stale connection problem, as is because of other reasons, right? Because it's not just specific to SPR application server. It depends on so many other reasons, network, your database, or it could be firewall, it could be any other reason. But we can limit to certain extent, right? So the first one is setting the purge policy to entire pool. It's kind of a recommendation, right? So suppose if the connection goes to stale and you try to get a connection, and if you set the purge policy to entire pool, all the connection in the free pool will be discarded actually. So if you set the purge policy to that particular, not the entire pool, then only that connection will be discarded. So you can try to set your purge policy to entire pool. And before I go to the second point, the minimum connection value to zero, I would like to discuss one scenario here. Let's consider one scenario. You have a minimum connection of 5. And a lot of customers are using in the daytime, in the peak hours, right? For example, 100 users are accessing the application and getting the connection and working with database. Everything goes fine. And after 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening, no user comes in and everyone shuts down the machine, right? And so you have a minimum connection set to 5. So at least the 5 connection will remain in the free pool. And next day morning, you comes and try to log into the same application. And the meantime, in the middle of the night, and the DB2 servers were restarted, or the session was timed out, or something happened on the database side, right? And you come in the morning, try to get the first connection. So you already have a minimum connection of 5, which are in the free pool. So the first connection will try to get the handle from the free pool only. So that connection, no, the database does not know anything about that connection at all. So customer is going to receive the stale connection exception. So you should know what is better for your application. So here we have given it as a recommendation to have the minimum connection value to zero. But sometimes in the peak hours, if you set it to zero, there won't be any minimum condition maintained in the free pool. So there you have to consider your performance as well, actually. So it all depends on what and how your application is performed. And also, the another recommendation is to set the age timeout value less than the firewall timeout value. Let's take one more quick scenario. And suppose if you have an age timeout set to 10, which will discard any connection which are in the free pool after the 10 minutes, right? And you have the firewall timeout set to 5. So what happens? After 10 minutes only, any connection will get discarded from the free pool. But if the firewall kicks in before 5 minutes and it chops the connection before that 10 minutes, right, in this case 5 minutes, then all the connections will get lost and any new request is going to get the stale connection exception. So we have given an example here also how you can recover from the stale connection exception or the bad exception. Let's move on to the next slide, 29. So stale connection exception. Here is a pseudocode how you can recover the stale connection exception. For example, you get a connection, create a statement, execute a query, right? During this time, something happened and you got the stale connection exception in any of these three statements. And we catch the stale connection exception and then we can retry. So you can set the retry however you want, like 5 times or 10 times, until you get a new connection which is really not stale and you can make use of it, right? So most of the developers don't catch the stale exception. They always catch only the SQL exception. So we get so many PMRs that's the main reason we wanted to cover as much as we can in the stale connection exception. So let's move on to next slide, slide 30. Connection wait timeout. This is another challenging thing for us, actually. So we get a lot and lot of PMRs, even more than stale connection exception on this connection timeout. So even we have decided to give a new presentation sometime next month, September 20th, on this connection timeout, where we can talk more about it. And as I said, even we can talk more than 2 hours on this, just on the connection wait time issues, actually. So what could cause the connection wait timeout here? The database connection are not being returned to the connection pool in timely manner. So you have set the minimum connection, maximum connection, and connection timeout, wait timeout in the database property that we discussed in the earlier slide. So if you have set the connection timeout to 300 seconds, right? So any new request comes in, waits for that timeout period. For example, 300 seconds is the default timeout value. So it waits for the 300 seconds to get a new connection. If it can't get the connection in that 300 seconds, it throws connection wait timeout exception. Assuming your maximum connection is reached, for example, 10 is the maximum connection that's reached, and no connection in the free pool, and connection wait timeout 300 seconds reached, and we throw the connection wait timeout exception. And also, as I said, right, insufficient connection in the pool. For example, maximum you set it to 10, we are not going to cross that limit of 10 connections. And connection leak, that's very common we see. Customers, they don't really close the object or they don't close the connection properly in their code. So in the case of shared pool, the LTC has to end, or your servlet do service to exit for the shared connection to come back to the free pool. But sometimes if you don't close properly or don't configure it properly, it may sit on just a shareable pool or unshareable pool, and it may not come back to your free pool at any given time. And there you see the connection leak forever. It sits there, and the connection leak issues we may see. And the recommendation is to increase the number of connections to 10 or more. The default is 10, but again, it depends on how much you want, right? I mean, your application may require like our stack products like BPM or other stack products. They, by default, they set it to 50 or plus because it's kind of a huge, so many requests, they need more connections, right? So it depends on your application, how much you want, so it will tweak around. And we have provided a link here, how you can resolve the connection leak issues. This explains how you can dump the pool manager to see how many connections are waiting, how much are in use, how much in shared connection, how much in unshared connection. All the information you can dump and you can find out what's really going on. So this link will be much helpful for you. Let's move on to next slide, slide 31. Unsatisfied link error. I'm not talking about the generic unsatisfied link error on your on the application or the overall unsatisfied link error, right? So I'm just going to address the specific to the JDBC driver or J2C here. I'm not talking the entire unsatisfied link error. So what could usually we see whenever we see an unsatisfied link error from a DB2 driver or a database, 99% of the time we know this could be because of bit mismatch, the 32-bit versus 64. So the JDK is running on 32 and your DB2 driver is 64-bit, right? So JVM cannot load a 64-bit driver. The 32-bit JVM cannot load a 64-bit JDBC driver. There we get it. That's vice versa. If 64-bit JVM cannot load a 32-bit JDBC driver. So it's a native library, right? So during the startup itself, we try to load and we will throw this exception, the unsatisfied link error issue. And sometimes we've seen issues if the location of the driver is not properly configured. It might have loaded from some other library and it could have thrown the unsatisfied link error. Few times we have seen issues like a permission issue also. For example, you are running your application server as non-root user, WAS ADM, and if that user does not have permission to read or load or execute this driver, we do throw that unsatisfied link error. So how we recommendation actually. So we recommend instead of using type 2 driver, you can use a type 4 driver where you will not see any of this unsatisfied link error. But if you really want to use type 2 driver only, make sure your JDK, your DB2 client, operating system, application, everything matches regards to the bit or anything, right? Because it has to honor and meet all the expectation of all these layers, the JDBC, DB2 client, and operating system. Then only you will not have any problem. In case of try to driver to be used, make sure you can use 64. Suppose your JVM is 64-bit and you are using 64-bit DB2, the 64-bit DB2 can also connect to your 32-bit DB2 server or 64-bit DB2 server. Let's move on to next slide, slide 32. Loading multiple versions of JDBC driver. We often get PMR or issues saying, hey, I'm trying to load this JDBC driver, it's not working, or it's loading some other issue, or we get no class defound error, or we get class cast exception because it tries to load two different driver on the same JVM, and we see so many issues related to this loading multiple JDBC drivers. So how we can, first you should know what driver your data source is using, right? So we do print this useful message in the system.log file. If you see any of this problem or if you have doubt what my data source is using, you can just search for DSRA, open the system out, search for DSRA, and you can get all this valuable information. It will show you what database you are using, what JDBC driver version you are using, and what driver type you are using, right? So it shows all this information for you. And suppose if you want to really use two JDBC driver in the same application server, prior to 7.0, it's not possible actually. But after version 7.0 onwards, we have the feature called isolate this resource provider. So suppose this is applicable only to type 4 driver, not for type 2 driver, because if you put the native driver path when you create the JDBC resource, these options will be disabled automatically, so you will not have an option to do it. So version 7 onwards, for example, you have two applications, application 1, application 2, right? Application 1 wants to use driver XYZ, right? And application 2 wants to use driver ABC, for example, right? So, and you want to have both applications running on the same JVM. So you go to that, when you create the JDBC provider, you can say, okay, I want to isolate this provider, the JDBC provider. What it does, it creates its own class loader and loads its driver inside the class loader. So you will not have issues having conflict of two or more driver loading in the same JVM. Let's move on to next slide, please, 33. Test connection issue. This is another very common issue that we see day-to-day life, like test connection fails. It could be due to many reasons, but these are the common reasons that we have seen so far from the customers. If you have configured the data source at the cell level, then test connection will run only on DManager. It will not run on NodeAgent or the app server. Or if you have configured the data source on anything other than DMGR, right? Could be cluster, node, cell, cluster member, whatever, right? The test connection will execute only on NodeAgent. So you have to make sure the NodeAgent is always running and your DManager is always running when you do the test connection. And the most important part is having the node sync with your DManager. Most of the time, you make all the changes in the DManager, but the changes will not get reflected on the node. It push all the changes from your DManager to the node only after you run successful sync. It could be a sync node from command line or do a full synchronization from the console. So make sure the node are in sync with the DManager, all the nodes, not just one node. And you can also use J2C authentication alias if your relational database is secured. You can use the J2C authentication alias to put the user ID password, which is secured, stored in Vesphere configuration, and encoded. So you are secured, and you can make use of J2C authentication alias. And when you configure your data source, you can say, okay, this is the J2C authentication alias I want to use to connect to the relational database. So most of the time, when the database is secured, if you don't pass user ID and password, the test connection is going to fail. And make sure the drivers are reasoned and placed in the right class path, because if it is not in the right class path or not reasoned, then you make test connection may fail from the console. Make sure you have the correct connection values. That's kind of a default. You may pretty much know about your database, host name, port number, etc. Let's move on to next slide 34. I'll just go over real quick on the best practice, what you should do. Let's move on to slide 35. Best practice, always upgrade your Vesphere application server to latest and greatest level, right? Six-pack, 7.0, 31, 8.0, 8.0.7, or whatever, right? The latest possible driver. If not, then at least where your production server would support, right? Because for each and every six-pack level, we at least introduce like 100-plus, we fix 100-plus issues that's been introduced before that, right? So at least on the J2C, we will have 5 to 10 issues. So like Krishna mentioned earlier, 7.0.21, we introduced some useful features, right? So to make use of all those, you'll have to be in the latest six-pack level. And also the same for JDBC driver also. We have most of the time, so like maybe like out of 100, like 20% or 10% related to the JDBC driver issue, upgrading the JDBC driver will resolve the problem. So make sure you are on the latest side of the JDBC driver as well. And always follow the get, use, close pattern. If you don't close the connection properly, it's never going to return to FreePO. You will be wasting all the connections and resources. Make sure to close the result set object and any statement object also. And you can use J2C authentication alias to connect to relational database. And try to handle shell connection resource exception in your code. I have given a pseudocode before. You can make use of that also. So you try to catch the exception so it won't go stale and you won't, your end users will not see any of the surprises, right? They won't get any surprise. And tune your connection property. We have given information here how you can tune your connection property. Let's move on to next slide, 36. We have provided some useful references here. When you get a chance, just go through this. This will be really very useful when you deal with your JDBC connection problems. It could be a connection pooling issue, or if you have a question about like shared unshared, and if you want to know about the connection transition, how it works, and the more information also in the following link. So just make use of it when you get a chance, just go through those. Let's move on to next slide, 37. So we are almost done with our presentation. We'll go through the high-level summary real quick. Today we talked about what is JCA and what is RRA. JCA is kind of an architecture which helps you to connect, which helps connect J2E platform to EIS system. And RRA is kind of a resource adapter. It's kind of a middle tier between a Java application and your database. And we also discussed about free pool, shared pool, and unshared pool. Free pool, anyone can come and get the connection. So shared pool, anyone within that component, within the server, can share the connection and put it back to the SharePool. And when the LTC ends or the transaction ends, commit, right? So it will go back to your free pool. And until then, it can be on the SharePool. Unshared pool, one-to-one relationship. One guy come, get the connection, use it, close, goes back to free pool. And we also discussed about a lot of the connection pool and properties. We talked about search protection, stuck connection, and Vesphere default query timeout and sync query timeout with transaction timeout and enable multi-threaded access detection at all. So make use of connection pool. That's our basic point, right? Because connection pool, if you properly configure, it can definitely improve 20 times than your normal result. Whatever you have seen, like without connection pool, it's kind of a 20 times will be better than your without connection pool, actually. And we also talked about transaction support, and we also talked about the common issues. Most especially, I would like to reemphasize here, stale connection exception and connection timeout. Stale connection, make sure, I mean, it could have caused because of your DB2 restart, maintenance, or firewall, or it could be anything. So try to catch the stale connection exception in your application so you will not have any surprises. And we also discussed about some of the best practices. Let's move on to slide 38. We also have a lot of very good information, additional Vesphere product resources. To learn more about WCE, you can look into this link, and you can discover the latest trend in Vesphere technology and implementation. You can join the global Vesphere community following this link, and you can access key product show me demos and tutorials by visiting our IBM Education Assistance, which has a lot of good information there. You can also view webcast reply with step-by-step instruction for using the SR tool for submitting problem electronically, so you don't have to call, and you just use electronic to open the ticket. Sign up to receive weekly technical my notification emails by following this link. We are done with the presentation. From here on, I will pass on the control over to David. David?
Thank you, Krishna Kuan, for a great presentation. And finally, moving on to slide 39. Don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a mailing list and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question, Ruhal Nair, your line is open.
I have two questions here. One is regarding the shared pool and shared pool which you're talking about. So you did mention that there's a property which you can set within the connection factory to make it a shared or unshared pool. So I want to know whether what's the property which needs to be set, and do I have any control from an application perspective to say push it to a shared pool versus to an unshared pool?
Right.
So that's one question. And second one is on the J2C connection factory which we use, within which we actually give our data source. So J2C connection factory, which has a resource adapter to connect to your database, also has a connection pool, and the data source also has a connection pool. So which takes the precedence, or should I tune both of those connection pools? I'm not quite sure.
To answer your first question, between a shared and unshared pool, there is a at three levels, you can set this. Basically, Vesphere data source custom property default type override allows you to override default behavior, which is a shared connection by default. And then that will allow the application server to override default connection type override. The values can be shared or unshared. Default is shared. If you can set it to unshared, then the default mode will become unshared. However, the application can override always this using a resource reference. If you set a resource reference, and in the resource reference, if you set a connection to be shared or unshared mode, then that takes precedence and overrides the default type override. And there is also another data source custom property available, which is called as a global override behavior, which can be set to shared or unshared. That overrides even resource reference. It overrides all the precedence. But you cannot, by setting data source properties global type override, you cannot switch between shared and unshared pool. The best way is for switching in the application between shared and unshared pool, you can set it in the resource reference. That is the best recommended way to do it. And also, it is the easy way to do it because you know which application requires a shared and unshared pool. If there are multiple applications, if you set at the data application server data source level, that applies to that particular data source pool. But if there are two applications using the same resource, then there could be different behavior. So it is the best always to use resource reference and set in the resource reference about the sharing policy that the application want to use. But once it is set, it can you can override between multiple web modules depending upon what resource reference you have set on each multiple web modules or the resource. That is possible. Hope this clarifies your question. And then second question is J2E connection factory and the data source. What I understand from you is basically when you said connection factory, is it a data source pool or is it a JMS pool? I'm not quite clear about that. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, it's a data source pool. So what we do is we install the resource adapter, create a data J2C connection factory, and then give a data source within the J2C connection factory. From an application, we do not use the data source directly, but then we use the J2C connection factory.
Okay, so if you have installed a resource adapter, and then basically the resource adapter that you have provided provides you the default values, and it tells the application server to use the values that are recommended by the resource adapter you have installed. But when you create a pool on the using your resource adapter, then at that time you can override the default settings. So basically, if you because the connection pooling is controlled by the application server, but only your resource adapter will tell what to use. But then the application server has a control on managing the connection pool. So you really need to override it on the connection pool you are going to create using the resource adapter. So is that answers your question, Raghav?
Yeah, it did. Thank you. And just one final question. You're talking about stale connection. We have done all those recommendations already in our application. We did one more thing apart from that, which was not mentioned. There was a ping query within the WebSphere data source, I think, properties. We did do a ping query for every single connection. For example, for an Oracle, it could be select one from a dual, or for a query which will be run before actually handing the connection to the application. Would it actually not solve any stale connection?
Basically, to answer your question, let's put it this way. You have configured a property called a test new connection and pre-test an existing pool connection, right? So basically, that will only all the settings that we are doing, catching a stale connection exception in the application and then connection pool manager recovering from the stale connection exception, and then using the pre-test existing pool connection or test a new connection before handing over the connection to the application. All this ensures that the application gets a good connection, but a connection can go stale at any point of time. So that's the reason a stale connection exception that received after application gets a good connection, pool manager will try to recover from that stale connection exception during the runtime. However, the application catching the stale connection exception will also provide extra cushion for the application to recover from the stale connection exception. But with all these settings, there is no way that we could avoid the stale connection exception, because there can be a number of reasons. As Kumaran told earlier, there can be a database issue, or there can be a JDBC provider terminating the connections, or there can be a network, or there can be a firewall chopping off the connections. Each condition has its own code, which application server maps to a stale connection exception. But overall, we always tries to recover, but we cannot avoid a stale connection occurring because we don't know the source of the problem. Hope this clarifies
you. It did. Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question, Jared Fearson, your line is open.
Hello. I had some, I guess you had kind of talked about the shared and unshareable connections, and there was one area specific that wasn't really addressed, especially with the common problems, and that's with, nested local transaction coordinators the use of the service method that, surrounded the shareable connections, and it seems like that's a common issue that can cause connection leaks almost inside within those nested LTCs because they're not properly handled. So I don't know if you could discuss maybe a little bit about how to properly handle those LTCs in regards to the service method.
Right.
To avoid those connection leaks.
Yeah. Basically, let's put this way. When application using a shared connection, or in this case, shared pool, right? So basically, even though application closes the connection will not go back to the free pool. Rather, it goes to a shared pool, waiting on an initial LTC that has been created. The LTC will only complete once the service method of the first request exists. But with a nested forward or include request, the control goes back to the second service or third service, henceforth. So basically, if the condition doesn't allow, and then each LTC must use a different connection, right? Basically, there could be a condition where we call it as an LTC leak, not really a connection leak. Basically, application closes the connection, but the control never returns to the original service method that initiated this LTC. So to alleviate that, either application has to be modified to use get serial reuse of the connection, get use close, and also the another way of overcoming this is on the first request you can use user transaction API and create a global transaction, right? And then once there is a transaction context available on the thread, then the application connection manager tries to include any subsequent connection request into that global transaction so that there will not be a new LTCs are created. Only the first request that comes into the from the servlet doesn't have any transactional context, so the web container has to create LTC. So the first LTC will be suspended. Once you create a global transaction and subsequent forward will also use the global transaction. So that way you can avoid LTC leak. And there is also new feature available in WebSphere 7.0 where you can share the LTCs across multiple application components. For example, if you have a servlet A and servlet B and servlet C all required to use, let us say, a data source A, then basically you can define a deployment descriptor to configure that servlet A, servlet B, servlet C will use data source A. In that case, when you configure that property, basically what happens is LTC share. So when this when connection manager sees this LTC shareable attribute, and it will not suspend and create a new LTC. It tries to use the same LTC. That way you can take advantage of shareable connections. If you need any further details on about LTC sharing, in the resources we have given a developer article, it talks about how you can use the shareable LTCs in WebSphere Application Server 7.0 onwards. I would recommend at least you be on 7.0.27.
because there was an XS debug that fixed that will allow the application developer to configure the deployment descriptor attribute to share an LTC. Hope this clarifies you. In addition to what Krishna said, right, that when the servlet init called and LTC created, and if that forwards to servlet 2 and that, if that forwards to servlet 3, the servlet 1 is going to sit on the shared pool forever until this guy all comes back and LTC exit and the servlet service method exit. So it will be sitting there forever. So you have to consider based on your application also. Maybe you can consider using the unshareable also at that time. If you see a lot of connection leak issue due to this LTC, you can consider that also.
Right. Just keep in mind, if you are considering to switch to unshared pool, you might require a more number of connection than the shared pool because the unshared pool is one-to-one relation. So you may not be taking advantage of shared conditions. Yeah, hope this helps.
Yep. Can I have one other question just real quick? I also wanted to discuss, there was one topic of area that I also thought that, you know, kind of maybe was left out, was a common issue that you see where the management of the web container thread pool in relation to the connection to the, you know, total pool manager or connection pools on their system, you know, and the deadlock scenario that can result from that, you know, the management of the web container thread pool in regards to their connection pools. So I don't know if you could discuss maybe a little bit about that.
Right, sure. So basically the default recommendation in the info center is always use a closed network, meaning if you have 50 web container threads and then an application using those 50 web container thread needs a database connection. Let us take a simple example of using one data source. So basically what a default recommendation is to use a closed network. What that means is if you have a 50 web container threads, and then you can use throttle down the data source max connection pool to 25. So that way you are not opening your resources, database resource. Basically, you can set the max number of connections to at any value or make it an open connection. But it depends on your application requirement, how many connections that an application requires, right? So we always encourage you to use a closed network pattern to protect your database systems. But there could be an example like portal servers, which will require more number of JDBC connections per web container thread. Portal application server recommends some kind of open model, basically for each web container thread, depending upon the portal data source. They would recommend either two or three database connection. In that case, you can set your max connection to a higher value. But it all depends on the application design and the application requirement. To avoid any connection deadlocks, basically, Info Center provides a tuning recommendation to come to an estimate how many max connection that you can set on the connection pool. Basically, you can use that as a guideline during the testing phase of the application and then use it. And also, it is always recommended to have surplus number of connections so that the connection wait timeout will not occur. And also, when you are using a shared pool, you could avoid a deadlock situation. What I believe is if you take advantage of using a serial reuse of get, use, close pattern, most of the application will take benefit of the shared connection, but they will not. They will minimize the connection deadlock in the shared pool. But if you use LTC feature, and then that would provides more number of reusing the shared connection, and also it helps to avoid deadlocks. Hope this clarifies.
Okay. Any other question?
There are no further questions.
Thank you. We do have several questions in the group chat, and the first one is the connection pool in the Java heap or the native heap?
Connection pool is in a Java heap side. It will not use any native heap. It applies to the shared pool or unshared pool or free pool, but the heap utilization of a connection pool will be in the Java heap side.
Okay. The second question in the group chat, and I believe it was regarding the age timeout. The question is, this is true for shared and unshared connections?
That's correct. Age timeout comes into picture for connections that are eligible for to be destroyed based on their age. So even the connections that are available residing in a shared or unshared pool, but still the connection manager will mark those connections as candidates for aged. And connection manager will destroy the connections that are marked as aged that are available in the free pool immediately. And they will connection manager will also destroy the connections that are marked as aged, which resides in a shared or unshared pool. Once those connections comes back to the free pool, depending upon the transaction outcome, connection manager will destroy those connections also.
Thank you. And then the next question in the group chat, aged connections will only be discarded when they are idle, right?
Yeah. Aged connections are not for idle. It depends on, let us say, if you have a firewall between your database server and the application server, right? And if you're using a default time of aged timeout 0, then assuming the firewall chops off based on thinks it's an idle connection, right? But the aged timeout doesn't care about if the connection is idle or in use. It only, let us say, a connection is created at 10 a.m. And then you have set that aged timeout to 60 minutes. After 1 hour, that connection will be marked for aged. It doesn't matter whether the connection is in use or it is an idle. That connection will be destroyed upon its returning to a free pool.
Thank you. The next question in the group chat, and it was posted during slide 15. These are custom properties, correct?
Yeah, these are the properties that are already available in the admin console.
Yes.
So, yes, these are the custom properties, but they are available in the admin console.
Okay. And then the next question. How is Connection Pool managed, which was created at cell level and a two-node WebSphere ND?
Yeah, it works both ways, right? I mean, it works the same way. Like, you have a connection pool created data source, right? Suppose you have maximum connection set to 10 on the data source running on a single JVM. So you will have a maximum connection of only 10 connection, right? So in case of a cluster, when you consider it as a cluster, you have two cluster members on two nodes running. So the cluster member one will have 10 physical connection can have, and cluster number two can have 10 physical connection. So it's not combined in the case of clone or a cluster.
Okay. And then the next question. Won't the search protection tell upon the performance under heavy load?
Search protection, basically, yes. There will be a slight performance. But if you are considering about protecting the resource, such as a database server, there can be a application where there is a heavy load, but it doesn't mean that the heavy load on that application will bring down entire application server or database server or any other applications that are running on the application server that doesn't need a particular data source, right? So in this case, what happens is to protect the database server getting overloaded and causing outage of the entire database systems and also the application server, search protection will help to induce a load slowly. But you can control the properties at which time the connection manager will create the new connections once the search threshold reaches. As an example, I took 30 seconds, but it don't have to really be a 30 seconds. Maybe you can set my application can wait 5 seconds between the two connections. But that helps to protect your database servers and also your data source connection, your application server.
Okay, thank you. And then the next question, are the stuck connection and search protection properties available on WebSphere 6.1?
Yes, they are available from in WebSphere 6.1. We want to bring this out because we thought to advise customers, to tell customers about more about these properties so that they can think of protecting their database servers and the application servers going down because of one bad application or one application receiving excess number of connections, right? Particularly, stuck connection is helpful because it avoids your entire application server going into a hang state because of just one database that is underperforming, right? There could be a number of applications using different database that they can still function properly, but because of one database server doing underperforming, bringing down application server is a not good practice, right? So that is how the stuck pool will protect a particular data source pool. Because there can be a situation where your database connection can hang for unknown reason, right? So that way you are protecting the entire application server so that it is highly available for the end users.
Okay. Thank you. And I believe you've answered this question, but it was posted earlier in the group chat. What is the difference between stuck connection and stale connection?
Stuck connection is more, it is a condition where, depending upon the value of stuck time you define, basically it identifies, marks the connection as a stuck. That means the connection is still active. It can be hung, if it is hung really in the JDBC driver or the database side, right? So if there is no way for any either of the side to throw an exception, right? So that is what it is, meaning connection is stuck. It is either it is taking long time to execute. If that is taking long time to execute, then it is guaranteed that that will at least return to the free pool. But what if that particular connection is hung? So there is no way that connection will come back to the pool. So that there must be some other problem, right? Whereas a stale connection is an exception condition where your physical connection is broken due to unknown reasons, right? So stale connection exception is caught immediately, and then the application server or the application tries to recover based on the logic it is using. But for a connection that is hung for indefinite, there is no way application server or the connection manager or application can get an exception or database can throw an exception because it is totally hung. That way, using stuck connection, you are protecting your application server or the pool.
Okay, thanks. And then the next question, is it possible to generate a JDBC thread dump for identifying JDBC-related exceptions?
Basically, let me put this way. What I understand is you can generate a Java core or a thread dump based on certain exception condition. Your application server, JVM, if it is an IBM application SDK, meaning the application server hosted on Windows, Linux, AIX, it does allow to generate a thread dump at will based on exception condition. But if I understand, if you want to dump a JDBC dump dynamically, I don't think it is possible because JDBC drivers, the way JDBC drivers use is tracing options, which you can configure in the application server to generate the JDBC specific trace that can be used for analysis. But as of I understand JDBC dump, if you're looking for something that you want to dump at the JDBC driver level, I don't think that is possible.
Okay. Thank you. Next question regarding slide 28. If you change minimum connection to zero, is there a restart of JVM required?
So if you change the minimum connection, JVM is really, it is not required for only for certain pool manager properties. You can override at the runtime, but you cannot override them using admin console or something. There is some advanced scripting options available through which you can override. But there are certain data source properties or the connection pool properties which definitely does require JVM restart for the changes to take effect. But there are some properties definitely which don't require a JVM restart where you can refresh the MBIN so that the runtime is refreshed.
Okay, thank you. Then another question. While the system is running, how can you find out how many connections are in use and how long they've been in use? Are any statistics collected about max connection reached?
Basically, you can enable the PMI to collect the performance statistics about the connection pool and the JDBC layer, how much time each, how much time it spent at the JDBC layer, how much time it spent overall. For about max connection reaching option, you can also collect a PMI statistics. Basically, all PMI counters are available documented in the info center.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Yeah. And also, alternate way is we have provided a URL which you can use wsadmin command to dump the show pool content. That will also give you the statistics of the each data source pool.
Okay, great. But then there's a comment here that failed to initialize cursor is a common issue.
Failed to initialize a cursor, it depends on the application specific. Basically, it is not a general term. It could be an specific issue, but definitely it needs investigation, further investigation, because we cannot provide you the answer on top of it. If you would like to get further information, please email us in the slide so that we can get a clarification to this question.
Okay, that's great. And I put up slide number one, which has Krishna and Kumaran's email addresses, if this person wants to send them an email. I don't see any other questions in the group chat.
We do have another audio question.
Okay, go ahead.
Bindu Gera, your line is open.
Thank you, Krishna, for your presentation. Actually, I have a question. Let me tell you about the architecture, how it is. The application is Maximo, which is running, and in the back end, the database is running like a DB. So once there was a JDBC issue, when we looked into the system out files, it is showing up as a data source was not able to reach so and so. So after that, you know, I went in and looked into the console. Actually, the data source which is listed in the system out is not present, like configured through the console. But when you go into the Maximo application, over there is an option called a data sources. Over there you can see. So why is that?
Maximo is a stack product, so it depends on how Maximo is configuring. But any data source that defined at the Maximo level, we should see it in the admin console. It depends on how Maximo is defining. But you cannot use a data source pool actually defining in the Vsphere config.
And did you see all the scopes, like under cell scope, node scope, you still don't see the data source at all?
Yeah, actually, you know, immediately after I see that error in the system out, I went in and looked into the console under the data sources. But whichever it is showing up in the system out is not listed actually through the console, but it is showing up in the Maximo application when you go in and look down the, options over there, data sources. Over there you can see that. Not sure why it is like that.
Okay. So to quickly, if this happens, right, the quick way is if you know the data source name, right, you can use the wsadmin command and dump the show pool content, right? When you configure that data source to dump the show pool content, at this stage only you will understand if that data source is available or not, but it should. If any data source, any stack product that creates a data source under the cover, it is actually creating in the Vsphere configuration. We must see it in the show pool content, or when you issue a show pool content dump. If you see that, then possibly there might be a problem in the Vsphere admin console, which is not displaying that. It could be a different reason. Maybe your nodes are not in sync. Maybe the one option you can do is a reverse sync option and see if that resolves the issue.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Krishna. Also, I have one more question. You know, like whenever there is a DB2 errors are showing up in the system outs, when you check the database, it might be up and running. You know, but still it is showing as a DB error, like a connection pool error kind of stuff.
So basically, the middleman between the application server and the database is the JDBC driver. When you configure the data source, you select the data source pool implementation class and the helper class. Basically, the WebSphere RRA will interact with the JDBC driver and tells the JDBC driver what it needs from the application perspective, right? Application is requesting a connection, and then the RRA will pass that request to the underlying JDBC driver. It could be a JDBC driver problem also. If you are sure that there is no issues at the database layer, still your application is not able to get a connection, then the only possibility is there could be a JDBC driver issue.
Okay, then. Thank you. I got it.
We do have another audio question. Satish Rao, your line is open.
My question is, during stale, I mean, there are some scenarios where to recover from a stale connection, you need to do an application restart, right, server restart. Will there be any utility down the line to just purge all connections through admin console? Because the only way to recover from a stale connection in some production scenarios is to bounce server, and that causes an outage.
You can set the age timeout property. It depends on how you want to set, right? So most of the times when you set the age timeout property.
If so this is a heavily used application, so, I mean, if this is a heavy traffic, right, to even get into that scenario, it's going to take, and the reaction time should be very fast, right? We cannot, so you know, there are some scenarios, right? Saying.
Right. Let us put your question this way. Assuming your application is handling the stale connection exception, and then assuming that still it's not able to function properly because it's not able to recover properly. It depends.
I'm going
on,
back to like example, right? You took,
right. Example, right. Yep. So the admin console provides you a command to purge the connection immediate with an immediate option. Default is normal operation. If you purge the connection with an immediate option, that will purge. But however, the conditions still occur. If the failed connection is involved in a transaction, if the application has not marked the transaction for the rollback, and then there is no way for the pool manager to recover that connection because application server simply cannot kill the connection because it must adhere to a certain JDBC or JTS specification. So in that case, the only option, if you don't have time, yes, you can restart the application server. That is the only option we can think. But if you know the source of the stale connection exception, then that would fixing that will resolve the issue.
Typically, these are either network blips or the DBA restarted the DBA.
If there is a network glitch, then probably restarting the application server will help to get all the connections fresh. But if there is still a network glitch occurs, even when after you restart the application server, the application may not get a good connections because if the network glitch hasn't recovered. One way is an admin console provides you an option in the runtime tab where you can pause the data source pool. You can select the data source, and you can hit pause during the runtime. It's not available in the config time. That way, what you are doing is you are pausing the connection pool, and then application will receive a resource exception until you resolve that network connection. Once you resolve that connection, you can resume the pool, and that way any new connections will get a good connection, but still the pool manager will try to recover the old connections once that network issue is resolved.
Is it option on the server run tab or is it
it's in the runtime tab, yes.
Server run tab?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Karun and Krishna, for presenting today.
Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone.